We have a sort of 4th of July novel for you now, America, America, by Ethan Kanan. Mr. Kanan has written 6 books, including a widely read collection of short stories he wrote while still in medical school. He has since turned to writing novels. His most recent is a very ambitious take on the Great America novel about class, wealth, politics, history, power, innocence, and corruption, all the things that ought to be in a great American novel. It's beautiful to read, filled with Ethan Kanan's brilliant small summaries of a time or a place. It's complicated, at times triumphant, at times sad. I like novels about politics, and I like this one, but there is much more going on in the book to talk about with the author. Ethan Kanan joins us now from Interlochen Public Radio in Michigan. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Linda.
I wonder, when you started out with the idea of writing this book, it's obviously a very ambitious book. How did you think of it when you began it?
This book started being about a boy who jumps classes, who moves up in classes from the blue-collar middle class that one hardly sees anymore in the United States to the educated upper middle class, or in this case, probably upper class is more fair to say. It started to be about that, about the way that anybody who makes that jump in this country is for his whole life or her whole life going to be of two classes at once. And it was going to be a small book, and a senator entered the novel, utterly not of my design. And the whole question of what I think of as the politics of generosity, that's my own term, became a central question of what I was thinking about in the last 3 or 4 years as I wrote this book. This idea that there once was a powerful, both capital class and political class, who cared about affirming and supporting a solid middle class in this country, and that seems to have vanished.
But you, when you write about it, you begin with a history of the people who formed those fortunes that are being so generously bestowed on the town of Saline that you've invented for this book. And those people were definitely not interested in the welfare of the working classes. It's sort of as if, you know, you're looking at a cycle, and one might even think the cycle is turning again.
One might think that now it's beginning to turn in a good direction again, but those capital classes also begat the great sort of landed gentry politicians from Teddy Roosevelt to Franklin Roosevelt to undoubtedly all three of the Kennedy brothers who were in politics, aristocratic people who still cared deeply about the common man. And that's what this book became about for me, is exploring that question. It's a troubling question. I don't know the answer to this. Are these men to be trusted? I don't know, and the book addresses that question.
Now, in order to deal with it, you do something that is very peculiar, it seemed to me. You go back in time to 1971-72, when Richard Nixon was running for re-election, and there were 3 famous Democratic senators who were running for the Democratic nomination: Senator Ed Muskie of Maine, Hubert Humphrey of Minnesota, and George McGovern of South Dakota. And what you do is you insert another candidate in there. That's your Senator Henry Bonwiller, this new senator who is part of, you, as you say, the landed gentry, into this race. And every review that I've read, just about, has been tempted to identify him. What role did he play? Was he Teddy Kennedy? Who was he?
I've heard that, and of course, you know, I think most people who read the book would be surprised to know I really had no intent of making it about Teddy Kennedy. There are other figures. And just about anybody who's in politics has this mix of avaricious appetite. And if we're lucky, also a taste for the public good. But the avaricious appetite is always there.
One of the most interesting characters in the book, though, is not the senator and is not this young Corey Sifter, who is the narrator, who starts out as a teenager and we finally see him in middle age. It's Liam Medery, who is the rich man who is trying to guide the senator's campaign and help him, and who is also trying to lift up Corey Sifter and educate him, put him into boarding school, send him to college, make things possible for him.
Yeah, these are the heroes of our country. This is a capitalist country. You're always going to have very extraordinarily wealthy men and women the heroes of this country, in my mind, are those who take that power and that wealth and do good with it. And that's what Liam Medery does, and he's a character I like.
He sort of glorifies hard work. That's why he likes Corey Sifter.
For some reason, I don't know why the values like that are labeled either or liberal or conservative. Part of what's happened to liberalism is that those ideas that hard work and self-discipline and self-reliance are no longer associated with the liberal name, the liberal brand, I should say, is a problem. And these guys, to me, were full of self-discipline, reveled in self-discipline, found the only satisfaction in life in self-discipline, which is, I think, how I myself have learned to live.
Now let's skip back to the innocent part. There's a passage on page 94. It's about how Corey Sifter, who's just a teenager with a brand new driver's license, has been given the responsibility of driving Senator Bonwiller around.
The Bonwiller Cadillac Eldorado was midnight blue, so dark it looked black in the shade. And sometimes on the 40-mile drive to Islington, the senator would have me pull over more than once, just to open or close that ingenious roof. When I opened it, the car, already large, felt colossal. He would move up to the front seat and don his dark glasses, then sit with his back half turned as he wrote notes on a stenographer's pad on the armrest. Or sometimes he thumbed through a book of Walt Whitman that he kept in the glove box, pausing now and then to look out at the horizon. We didn't talk. The wind leapt over the windshield, pressing my forehead like a warm hand if I straightened my back, filling my shirt like a pillow if I set my elbow at a certain angle on the door ledge. It was hard to believe I was being paid. To close the roof, he liked me to park where people could watch. First, I unbuckled the vinyl cover that was tucked behind the rear seats. Then I reached into the driver's door and engaged the control. At this point, I stood back and folded my hands the way his chauffeur, Carlton Sample, did. A humming would begin, and in the stored roof's shiny fabric would fill, then bulge in its housing, then at last break free, its two metal arms rising suddenly into the air like a man throwing off his chains. People on the sidewalk moved closer. At the apex, the whole cloth-covered arrangement bent forward at the elbow and began its descent toward the windshield, unfurling as it went. As soon as it touched down, I latched the closures, and we were ready to go.
I can actually remember being amazed at a convertible roof.
Can't you? I can remember that same thing. The Cadillac, those things. God, that was an amazing. Those were the days when inventions actually could be seen. They had gears and levers. They weren't made of microchips.
So you sat beside the kind of the innocence of that moment of thinking, wow, look at that, to the fact that he would do it several times during the trip. He would pull over and have Corey Sifter either raise or lower the roof of this Cadillac.
Well, that's politics. It's all a showman's game. Either it comes with good intent or bad intent, but it's a showman's game on either side.
Do you approve of politics?
Yes, I do. Politics is about emotion. That's another thing I think, when, at least I believe. It's not about logic. It's not even about morality. Morality is sort of a cover for emotion. And to be elected, you need to touch those emotional chords in people. They need to feel protected. They need to feel that they are in the presence of a hero. And that's what this senator is in so many ways. But he is, like all politicians, a flawed hero.
Ethan Kanin's new book is called America, America. He joined us from Interlochen Public Radio in Michigan. Mr. Kanin, thank you so much.
A pleasure, Linda.
To read an excerpt from Mr. Kanin's novel, visit the books section of NPR.org. This is Weekend Edition. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
Was and what a time it was a time of innocence, a time of confidences. Long ago it must be, I have a photograph. Preserve your memories, they're all that's left.